This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. Hailing from Lafayette, Louisiana, definitely singer, kind of songwriter for sure, Christian Lauren Daigle released her debut album, How Can It Be? In 2015, inspiring chart analysts to ask the same question when it sold a mind-boggling 1 million copies. After the requisite Christmas album in 2016, Miss Daigle, who, fun fact, is named after an involuntary Jerry Lewis noise, released 2018's Look Up Child, and again, the numbers were staggering. This is from Stereo Gum. The album sold 115,000 equivalent album units, 103,000 in traditional sales, the biggest debut for a Christian album since Casting Crowns in 2009. For context, her first week numbers beat Lorde's Melodrama and Halsey's Hopeless Fountain Kingdom, and fall just short of Kesha and Camila Cabello's recent albums, all of which debuted at number one. So, who is this artist? Is she the 2018 heir to the Amy Grant throne we need, or the college ministry worship leader we probably deserve? Or something else? We listened to Lauren Daigle's album, Look Up Child, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey, hey.
Oh.
Wah, go, wah.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
Losers, in other words.
Well,
ooh, a new Trebek.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
Our poor guest. I'm Caroline. She did not look happy.
Weird. I have some good Christian fun. Well, I won't say she looks terrified.
No.
She looks interested in being terrified.
Sure.
The baffling theme song aside, what is Good Christian Fun, Caroline?
Good Christian Fun is where Kevin works out his musical experimental band, I guess.
Yeah. It starts with like straight across the plate, just like, he's kind of a shitty weird owl. And it gets into like, this is just industrial noise at this point. It's a pop culture collage of nothingness.
A rock experiment.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's also where we talk about Christian pop culture every week. We talk about new musicians, the movies, whatever the Christians are up to these days.
The speakers, the sneakers, the little tweakers, sometimes the TV show, sometimes the video series for children, sometimes not for children.
Kevin and I are Christians, but we're not going to shove it down your throat or tell you to go to church or anything. But if you are a Christian, that's all right, too.
And if you're a Christian, we're not here to take it out of your throat either.
That's right. Keep it in there.
Keep it in.
Oh, my God.
What? We're not shoving. We're not taking out. We're just staying. So should we do the special segment?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is a special segment we do from time to time where we make our guests watch us talk more than we ought with a little something we call... Store up treasures. Kevin and Caroline. Store up your treasures, Kevin and Caroline. That's when we go through fan mail and fan gifts.
Yeah.
And we shout them out. This week, Caroline, what do we have?
We have an incredible piece of embroidery done by Kate Hilbert. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
On it, there's a nasty little piece of poo, and then there's a sweet little frog puppet, and it says, "Two Christian bullies, Proverbs 69.
It's pretty. I don't know if you could sum up the show better than this.
It's about right, the mess. And in it, she wrote on a card, "Challenge accepted."
I would love if someone gave this as a gift out of context to like a relative one year. Like if Kate uploaded the cross stitch pattern online for other people to do, and someone's grandma's like, "Well, it's nice. It feels like something you would make."
Yeah. But I actually really love it, and I can't wait to display it in my home amongst my art.
Yes, and what a beautiful expression of the dichotomy between me and you. A sincere...
I'm Kermit. I think that's pretty clear.
And I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that's been a little segment we call... Kevin and Caroline.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Kate. And the topic for today is Lauren Daigle. Lauren Daigle is a recording artist. Had you heard of her before I said, let's talk about her?
No.
You had never heard of
her. Well, I did because I think you brought her to my attention a few weeks ago when she like debuted on Billboard's Top 10 or something. But beyond that, I didn't know her.
Yeah, I send Caroline an alert anytime one of ours kind of gets on Billboard's Top 10.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, that's right.
Lauren Daigle.
He's a Christian, but he loves poo jokes, too.
I love that.
But we got a very special guest to do the show with us today. Someone who declared herself a Lauren Daigle stan and begged to come talk to us about her on the show.
Lifetime fan.
Lifetime fan. Going to bring all of her expertise. Ladies and gentlemen, she is a hilarious, wonderful writer and comedian. And you may know her from her podcast, Punch Up the Jam. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Miel Prado.
Wow. That feels like a musical orgasm.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's what you should hear.
It's a musical orgasm. Think of Amy Grant every time you hear this song. Miel, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I would like to rectify. I do not know who this artist is.
Oh.
Have never known.
That is not what your manager said.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're a liar.
I'm so sorry. I'll tell her.
That's okay. You don't have to be an expert.
No.
Good.
None of us are.
Or a sex expert. None of us are.
Okay.
I shouldn't have assumed that. I'm not a sex expert. I'll say that.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Okay.
We could talk about that. I might be a little more knowledgeable.
Yeah, we could pivot this podcast into something
so
else.
So we pivot from Daigle to...
Just sex, I guess.
Eating bagel.
Is that what you call it?
Going from Daigle to eating bagel. I was going to say from Daigle to Dingle.
Nice. No, she's into butt stuff, I think is what she's into.
Eating bagel is butt stuff?
I don't know. What else would
it be? Didn't you know?
Check the timer. It's taken us less than 10 minutes to get
to
butt stuff
everyone.
On
You're
the
welcome.
Thank you, Miel.
A new record.
Oh, boy. Miel, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry in advance.
For?
Just pissing off all of your fans.
Wait, okay.
You're fine.
I do want to ask, because I think we can ask you, what do you imagine the audience of this show to be?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, my guess is like super chill, like nice, non-oppressive, like gay-friendly Christian folks.
Oh, I hope so.
Hey, I think some of them are.
That's my guess.
A good amount of them are.
Oh, am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
I think that's good. I think a lot of them aren't Christian, though, or would describe themselves as agnostic atheists.
Yeah. Right, right.
We haven't done the Twitter poll to see where people fall, because it felt a little fascist to make people declare their religion in a public space.
What is this
space.
For?
Wait till the census comes around.
Do I think it's 60-40? If I had to guess, I think it's a 60-40 split.
Sure. Wow. Yeah. If Miel's wrong, you can go ahead and sound off on her Twitter. And
At M-I-E-L.
Yeah, fight me.
Fight me.
So all that to be said, to say, you ain't going to piss no one off.
I almost had to sneeze. I'm so sorry. It came and went.
Miel, what is your guesstimony? What's your background history, if any at all, with faith or church stuff or religious stuff?
Okay, I had to text my mom because I don't know the name.
Oh, of where you grew up going to? Okay.
Well, no. Okay, so me personally, completely secular. Never have been to church.
Born secular, like Jenny Lewis.
Wow.
My mom's father was a... Okay, which one is the religion? Protestant or Episcopalian?
Protestant is the bigger denomination. Episcopalia is the sub-denomination.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a Pokemon?
Yeah, Protestant's the top, Episcopalian's the bottom.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, imagine, like, religion, Christianity, Protestant, Episcopalian.
Okay.
Charizard.
Right, okay, the evolution. So she grew up, her dad, I'm going to get this wrong, pastor? No. What is it called in that religion?
Probably.
They have a different, like, I don't know.
Pastor,
if it's like
preacher.
Something.
Pastor, yeah. Priest.
The guy who ran the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. CEO.
We'll call him head pastor.
Head pastor.
Yes.
The boss of the church.
Yeah.
He was not a great dude for the most part. And my mom grew up in that household. Super religious and bounced as fast as she could.
Mm-hmm.
My dad didn't grow up with a lot of religion either, and I grew up in a super remote community. So I just grew up with those two super, I mean, my mom's more pagan now than anything else, but like not a great vibe for organized religion. And then my dad...
Specifically pagan?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Oh, not just like,
she doesn't practice.
I don't care. Okay,
gotcha. But she like...
What would pagan look like?
Gosh, I couldn't tell you. I know like back in the day, it was like solstice and... I think maybe Stonehenge.
Okay,
you're wrong about that.
Spinal Tap. Yeah.
But now, like, I'm just mean
way
to say, she makes like a lot of shrines. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like in the woods.
Ooh,
that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah. Like Blair Witch.
You're lighting a lot of candles, like a lot of like chanting, like like very spiritual, but not religious. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Spiritual to different.
Yeah, like the word God is not said in my household.
Like there's a spiritual realm, but there's no like deity running necessarily or something like that.
Yeah, and I almost think that might be like the deity thing might be antithetical to the whole practice, because it's almost like there is nothing, and that's why it matters so much to be kind and respectful and appreciative, you know what I mean?
Because it's kind of up to us
to
make sure we,
because if
right.
this is all there is,
right,
then the stakes couldn't be higher.
Exactly.
To be kinder now.
Yeah.
Did you do any of that with your mom growing up, or like did you connect with that at all?
Yeah, well, he was raised in the woods in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Nell?
Like Nell, yeah. It's just Miel, right?
Miel, Miel.
Wait, with like no neighbors nearby, really,
no,
or
like
anything?
40 acres of just like woods on a mountain. Yeah, and like homeschooled for a while. So like I was pretty in tune with nature from a young age. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of where I was raised, honestly.
This is an island in Washington, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's like... the San Juan Islands, they're right across from like Victoria and BC and Vancouver.
Okay.
Like, you can see them on the water. But they're pretty, well, they're popular now. Oprah just bought a house there, which is kind of crazy.
Hey, that must be validating.
It's horrible. I'm like, please don't make this like a expensive place. Like, this isn't what I want.
Metropolis for Oprah.
Oh,
acolytes.
Yeah, the Oprah effect. I'm sure that would raise real estate.
Right? And like, I wouldn't mind
Santa
having
Barbara.
Some property there or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, so like being in nature has always been kind of like, I guess, my church.
Yeah, no, I think that's not lame.
Yeah.
It sounded so lame the second I said lame. It.
No, I get that. Yeah. No, and in fact, I think if you study Christianity, so much of nature is held as evidence of God.
Absolutely.
Because nature is so like... It's so undeniably awe-inspiring.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of depends on which direction you pitch that awe
right,
to.
Right, because it can go either way.
Yeah.
Sure. That like just nature itself, it's something where there must be something making the nature
right,
and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah,
it's trying to communicate to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something you heard a lot growing up in Christian circles is like, oh, I guess there's no God. Said the sunset to the earth, or like... I guess nothing made that sunset. Okay.
It's fine, but like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone describe sunsets as God's painting.
Oh, wow. That's really
funny.
Well,
that was Thomas Kincaid. That was a special situation.
I mean, it is beautiful, but it does kind of be like, are you guys still having a conference?
Right. Who's this for?
But anyway, but nature is truly beautiful and I think truly divine for a lot of people.
I'm so glad we finally said it. Staunchly pro nature.
Yeah.
This podcast.
Sorry.
This podcast, we're a pro nature podcast.
Piss people off.
We love the earth.
I think it's pretty.
Yeah.
Controversial opinion.
Nature is good.
So you kind of grew up running around the woods, like mm-hmm. maybe mom's making a shrine. Not your problem. Karen.
Yeah. Yeah. The people I knew that were religious, not for me.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Got a pretty strong distaste for religion pretty early.
You had negative experiences with those people.
Mm-hmm. Was there certain events in particular? Or was it just like your personality? I can just tell I'm not into
this. I vaguely remember my dad engineering a record for like a local guy that was like super religious and he wanted to make like a God album. Mm-hmm. And the guy was this old dude and I guess he invited us to his Christmas party and I went as like a little girl and like I wish I could remember the specifics, but something creepy happened there. Like I think he made me sit on his lap or something.
Oh
yeah. Ew. And everyone like they like made us pray and I was like, wait, I'm not religious. Yeah. Don't make me do this.
Not even close.
Yeah. And then like religious relatives sent me a cross necklace when I was like six. And too young to understand what that meant. And my parents were like, not religious. So it felt kind of, I don't know, disrespectful to be like forcing it
trying
on a child.
Trying to get it in there.
Yeah, especially before they know what it is.
Through trinkets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was like, ooh, pretty. Like, yeah. I thought it was a tea.
I was like, tea for I'm terrific. They love me.
Yeah. Yeah, I wore for a while.
No, this was a torture item, actually.
Oh, no.
It was a trick, baby.
It was a trick.
My sister came home one day and told me, I know something you don't know. She's probably seven, I was probably five. And I was like, okay, what? She's like, I know what God is. And I was like, what is God? And she was like,
God is a woman.
God is a woman.
That is exactly what went through my head.
And she wrote Ariana Grande's hit single.
Wow. Whoa.
She was like, God invented everything. And I was like, no way. She's like, yeah, he like lives in the clouds and he's like super nice and he invented everything. And I was like, okay, well, did he invent my keyboard? She's like, uh-huh. And I was like, well, it says made in China, so got you, bitch.
Oh, no, he didn't. Dang.
You trapped your sister in a logic trap.
Logic wars.
Whoa. Just is God Chinese? Well,
right. You don't answer that question. I know. So, yeah, I was pretty skeptical early on. And I learned more about it later. I read that book, The Year of Living Biblically. Did you guys read that?
Yes.
A.J. Jacobs.
Yeah. About. Yeah. I didn't read it, but it was a smash hit.
It was, yeah.
And the TV show?
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I read a lot about religion and stuff growing up. For a while, I thought I was going to be a Buddhist, and then I was like, oh, you can't, like, acknowledge depression being a real thing, because
Buddhism doesn't?
Well, like, the whole philosophy is that, like, you can change your state, right? But if you have, like, chemical depression, like, that's kind of a slap in the face of it.
That's interesting, because I think there's unfortunate parallels to that in Christianity, too.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, where it's like, I think it's gotten better, but for a long time, certain people were like, well, if you have sadness, you have depression, like, you need to pray, or maybe there's a sin in your life you're not acknowledging, or maybe you're not just trusting God, and like, this is just a valley. And like, a lot of really, like, condescending, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Kind of comments like that. So
dismissive, yeah.
Yeah.
It hurts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's been a couple events that I'm just like that our high school volleyball coach only played the girls that went to his church. Yeah. And
oh,
it was
weird.
Like,
oh, come on. Yeah. That sucks.
So I dropped out.
Wait, what position were you?
Oh, I was setter.
Whoa, KQB of the volleyball team.
Sorry, bro.
Guys, I kind of feel like a net right now between two players right here. Tossing the ball to each other.
Sorry, bro. Yeah. Spike. By the way, have you tried playing recently? Because it freaking hurts.
Yeah, it hurts real bad.
You haven't played in a while.
Like my veins are exploding.
Is the last time you played when we played Labor Day last year? And we were all hustling, and it was a lot.
Yeah, and you get so out of breath right away. Yeah,
it's not a sport for people over 20 years old.
No!
Especially in the sand. Sand is very hard.
Never. I'm not a masochist.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so now I've been an atheist probably for as long as I can remember.
You were telling me a couple weeks ago about an experience you had going to a church. Do you want to recount that?
Yeah, so the only time I have actually been to church was for baccalaureate, which was like the community's like church send off to the high school graduating class.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was just disrespectful not to go, so I went, and I've never been, and I didn't know that I guess you don't clap when people perform songs.
Wait, was it like worship time, like communal, like everyone was singing along?
No, it was like a single guy that just like loves to sing was like, hey, I'm gonna perform the song I wrote for the class, and gets up with his guitar.
Oh, original.
And yeah, and like a mic around his ear, like in sync,
like Toby Keith.
Yeah. Just in case points. He needed to move.
Yeah, and then sang a song, and I stood up and clapped because I thought that'd be supportive, and everyone mad dogged me.
That is weird. That doesn't make sense to me.
Not a clap in church, I guess.
I've clapped in church so many times.
Now, if it was like pomp and circumstance, and you were like da 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 da, da,
yeah,
yeah.
No, he was like, I don't know, a lot about God being great and good.
God's, you know, great and God is good.
You might find that that's a lot of songs.
I remember feeling really betrayed by artists I briefly liked in high school when they found that they were Christian groups.
Oh, really?
Really? Mm-hmm. Like who? Who did
Reliant
a switcheroo
K,
on you?
I didn't know at first.
That's right.
And Creed. I didn't know at first.
Yeah. Creed, I'm still skeptical when people say Creed is a Christian band.
Are they
I'm
not?
Like,
really?
Are they the kind of guys that are like, we're Christians who happen to have a band. We're not a Christian band.
Yeah, that's a real popular pivot move. And I think Reliant K would put themselves in that. Like, we're not a Christian band. We're Christians who are in a band.
Yeah. Which I don't mind. I'm like, fine.
It's fine, but it's starting to sound more like PR than like a...
Yeah.
Is it a damaging thing to be a Christian artist?
It depends on what you're going for and what your goals are.
Well, Forest children turn against you immediately, so that's too bad.
The Nels of the world don't understand. They just start nibbling at your toes.
Well, you can imagine, like, you know, let's say Justin Bieber. You love Justin Bieber. What if you found he's all about God? It can be kind of a turnoff of being like, oh, so are you being disingenuous when you're singing sexy songs? Or now are you going to try to give a certain dogma to me? Like, I don't know. So I feel like for some bands, and also it's like this new standard, because when you're a Christian band, you're held to the accountability of all the Christians who are now watching you and making sure your lyrics are what they want to hear and stuff like that. Instead of you just being like, I want to sing about coffee today or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to all be about God. And so
are there any like super liberal, like, I mean, like sexually liberated, like Christian artists?
I don't think sexually, probably like politically.
Derek Webb, I would put in that category.
In a sexual category?
Maybe.
Like,
but definitely singing politically.
Sexy songs, but they're
about
also...
sex.
I mean, I guess like Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, because they are pretty openly Christian. Yeah. So, I don't know.
There was an item like a year ago that was circulating that was like, Selena's next album is going to be a worship
album.
Oh,
yeah. I saw
that.
So waiting on it.
Can't keep the Lord to myself.
Oh my God.
It's about her evangelizing, things like that. But yeah, it's a different, I think there's such a loyalty that can happen in Christian audiences, but then there's a whole different matrix of rules and standards that are applied to you.
Yeah, and you're like, with a Christian like label, they don't want you singing maybe about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, a lot of music is like that. Like there's certain things maybe you're not supposed to say or whatever.
Stay within your genre.
Sure, but with Christianity, I'm sure you can imagine.
It's a web.
Mm-hmm. I think the ideal is just like a Sufjan, where I don't know anybody that doesn't like Sufjan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The super conservative evangelicals can be like, yeah, to be alone with you. He's a Christian. Right. I heard that on the OC. And then way on the other side, you can be like, yeah, he's like the anthem for gay America now. And friggin' Call Me By Your Name and Checking Text While You Masturbated song and all that stuff. So he's like someone who can straddle.
So it exists.
It does exist.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Sufjan.
We have a Sufjan.
Right, but you...
I guess he is sexually liberated.
But I'm sure he's probably gets a bunch of criticism of like, he's not really Christian or he's not really a Christian artist or something like that too.
Yeah,
probably.
I wonder what that's
like. Attuned.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have any sexually liberated Christian artists you want to send our way, email us, goodchristianfun@gmail.com, and make the subject line super sexually explicit. For like, example, eating bagel.
You're creating your own nightmare right now.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. That's
like,
for sure.
Make us want to delete it before we even read it, but we will.
Yeah, but that's, Christian music is complicated. I don't know, I think Sufjan's like the ideal, but as far as like your faith or whatever your worldview is
informing.
Van
looks like straddle the line.
Yeah, because he doesn't piss anyone off that I know of. People just ignore whatever parts they want to, I think. Because like, do you like Sufjan stuff?
Yeah, but I will say when I first like noticed the God themes, this was probably in like 2006 or something. Mm-hmm. it wasn't known information if he was Christian yet or not. And so I assumed, so that I could continue liking the music, that it was like kind of satirical.
Oh, that he was like just kidding.
Yeah, like because I was so staunchly
anti. He went
anti.
Up on a tree. Why?
Yeah, like he's just making a joke. He's playing a character.
That's so funny because like we did the opposite. Where I'm like,
right.
Maybe Rufus Wainwright isn't gay and he's saved.
Oh,
and I don't
so
know.
Funny. So to like de-Christianify. Oh, that's hilarious. So you're staunch atheist.
Yeah.
Ride or die.
Yeah.
What do you feel like is your overriding worldview or philosophy about how to live life, if you had to boil it down?
Okay.
Because atheists don't have any.
Yeah, this is a trap.
Do you guys know Ricky Gervais? He's my idol. Imagine.
Oh, no.
Imagine. No, it's actually, it's always like worrisome to say you're an atheist. I actually would almost say more so than coming out as like a Christian, because the only figurehead we have is Ricky Gervais.
And I think there's some kind atheists out there.
Like Bill Maher, right?
One.
Love him.
Oh, there's TJ Miller.
Oh my God. Like you're naming my nightmare people.
You know what? I really loved R.I.P. and he was a dick sometimes, but I loved Christopher Hitchens. He was a
Don't
fun atheist.
There's probably dozens we're not thinking about that.
Yeah,
like, probably
cool,
true.
Nice atheists.
But for
yeah.
some reason, Ricky Gervais and Bill Maher are like the figureheads of the movement, and I want nothing to do with them.
Yeah, I feel like atheism got a weird rap of being kind of like the Redditor weird
right.
douche guy position to have.
Yeah, know? And yeah. like sometimes you'll see on the side of the freeway, like this portion of the freeway is sponsored by atheists, and I'm almost like, it's so
funny.
Silly that atheism's even a word. Like the lack thereof.
I know, just the lack of faith. It has to happen.
Right.
Well, this is something we can both groups can relate on. We don't like being associated with the ugliest figureheads
right.
of the movement.
Yeah,
we don't like being
sure.
associated with a Jerry Falwell. You
don't
love
like
being
labels.
Associated with a Dawkins or people of that nature.
So for me, I think it comes down to, I do believe that this is all completely random, and that for that very reason, we're all so incredibly lucky to exist. Just because like how many tiny things had to happen for us specifically to get to be born.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you trace that back scientifically, it's, I don't even know, millions, billions of tiny things that had to exactly happen as they did. And so to me, it's like, well, then being alive is such a gift. And to waste that is such, I mean, it doesn't ultimately matter except joke's on me, you know? Mm-hmm. I have this like one opportunity and I'm going to burn it by like, I don't know, being bitter or... Mm. Not living my life in the way I want to.
Or not kind or, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So for me, it's just like trying to enjoy things. I mean, maybe sometimes like edging on nihilism a little, but...
Yeah.
Well, I know you're into edging, I've heard. Famously.
Stop saying that.
What? No, that's her thing. That's her thing on the podcast.
I don't know how it became my thing.
It truly is.
It really
yes.
is.
I'm not making a joke.
Oh. Yeah, you got to play the, I'm on the edge.
I wish I had that queued up. Oh, I'll drop it in.
So yeah, and I just feel like being kind and trying to do what I can while I'm here. It's kind of my motto.
Yeah. So it's almost a chaos that leads you to gratitude and kindness. Rather than nihilism.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it kind of has to be. Because otherwise, like, you're going to drive yourself insane. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. For me, too, I've always felt a strong kinship to animals. I went vegetarian when I was two.
At two?
Yeah.
What made you decide to be one at two?
I was eating a hamburger, and I asked my dad what it was, and he just told me.
And he gave it the cow a name.
And, you know, well, no, he was like, it's a cow. And I was like, how? And he's like, they killed it.
It's
and
your
then
brother,
they ground
Henry
it
cow.
Up. My brother's name is Henry.
Wait,
that
really?
That is crazy.
Whoa. Yes. Both my grandpas are named Henry.
What? With a Y or an I?
With a Y. Ooh. Or are yours Henri?
My brother's Henri.
Oh, okay. You French people.
That's such a cute name, though.
I'm of French descent as well.
Oh my God.
So maybe that's why there's so many Henrys. And I have a Genevieve.
A Genevieve?
I feel like a net between two
and my grandma's name is Emma.
Kevin. Kevin Porter.
Your nationality is Texas, right?
All Texas.
Unfortunately,
it's named after
Texas.
A state.
Texas floodwater.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, that's insane.
Wow.
I'm
shouts
so
out to the victims
sorry.
Of Hurricane Harvey. Caroline has not kept you in her thoughts and prayers.
Oh no.
So yes. Okay.
I like that worldview. That feels nice. I feel like that's something I would adopt too, of like, it is radically special that we're here.
Yeah.
We get to enjoy each other. We get to love each other. And there's so many things like it's just great that we made it to today. You know?
Right. And it's great that we made it to today.
Yeah, and that's a lovely thought and something you can carry.
The odds were against it in a lot of ways.
The odds were completely
in every way.
For most people on this earth who don't enjoy any part of their lives, for us to be able to enjoy any of it is great.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That is cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, we're like, I mean, in a non-religious way, like truly blessed.
Well, I mean, hashtag blessed,
you could
for
call
sure.
It a miracle.
And you should call it a miracle.
See, now you're freaking me out. Don't gang up on me.
Caroline and I are getting closer
Christian.
And closer to Miel. I think
you're
Christian.
Do Christians do sacrifices?
We cool. haven't in a while. Yeah, that. Thanks for sharing your story.
Oh, sure.
That's really special. Let's take a little break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
could kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Let's go ahead and dive into the topic. Come on, let's go.
Oh my God. You have blood for everything.
Everything.
You know, the guy who sang that, he's a Christian. Doesn't he sound
now
cool?
Now I hate it.
Don't you want to? Wait, what?
No, damn it.
She loved it before.
That's her opinion before you knew.
Lauren Daigle. So this album, Look Up Child, it came out September. So as of recording this, it came out last month. Mm-hmm. But the sales numbers are insane. And they're so big, I was like, I guess this is relevant enough to talk about on the show.
Yeah, it's her following is truly bananas. And I feel like an old person, just totally off my radar. Did I didn't even notice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she debuted 103 album units sold. And 113 album equivalents. But that's insane that anyone would buy that many albums these days of someone that we've never heard of.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you saying 103 CDs?
3,000. Did I not say 1,000?
100 CDs.
I think you said 103.
Honestly, if someone sold 100 CDs in 2018, that would be pretty cool.
I was like, is that cool. Where we're at? That's 100.
It's great. Wow. No, that'll
that's
be
the
10,
way they still
5 years from now.
Like, in vinyl, there were five.
A whole five.
That's 18 cassette equivalents and 28 tracks, if you do the math. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't have a scale for record sales at all, so I don't know if that's good, but I'm assuming it's great.
She would be number one if it wasn't for Paul McCartney's album coming out roughly the same
time. There, what was the other data?
And Eminem.
I think you put this in your intro too, but she beat out like Kesha and Halsey.
She beat out Lorde and Halsey's first albums.
Lorde.
It was just under Kesha and someone else.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but anyway. So
pretty well.
I think it's only notable because the numbers can get boring, but I think it's notable in 2018 for someone that we've never heard of, or I'd heard of her before, but someone who, like, we don't know her songs.
But I think even just someone who's, like, this openly Christian, not interested in doing a real crossover kind of deal, is also this, you know. I mean, we know that Christian music sells, but the fact that it, like, hit this height was pretty interesting.
Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't she from American Idol?
I don't believe so.
I didn't come across it in my research.
Okay.
I think you're thinking of Taylor Hicks.
I thought I read that on her Wikipedia.
You could be right.
Oh, we might be dumb and didn't do our research and we're about to get schooled.
If you went four pages deep, then I'm definitely wrong. But I'm just wondering if that's true. Then I wonder if...
That could be.
If that has to do with why she debuted.
I mean, how can it be?
Yeah, she had a brief tenure on American Idol.
Hey,
oh, you're right.
We're stupid.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That could help.
We're repenting.
Yeah. Like, kind of put her out there.
I thought she was just getting run off from the Blade Runner 2049 soundtrack.
Yeah, weird. What? She's on that.
She has
a song on it.
She's
what?
The only original new song on the Blade Runner 2049 soundtrack.
What?
I will for sure play it. This is a song.
Running on Blades.
Yeah, it's called Running on Blades by Lauren Daigle.
For God is good.
Heart untethered, I was chosen.
This is called Almost Human.
To be a victim without knowing.
And Ryan Gosling does sing this at the end of the movie.
You
he lip syncs to this.
The replicants dance behind him.
Very sexy song.
All I'm hiding. You bring it out. I lose myself to your control. When you touch me,
Lauren,
I'm almost human.
It's a good song.
Oh, the chords are boring.
So the other thing notable
about
her is I really liked this album. Like, really enjoyed listening to it, which sometimes it's a you know, no hate, but it's a little bit of a chore for me.
Yeah.
And this one I was like, hey, I'll turn this on.
Well, I mean,
walking around.
This is a rare subject for us in that it's not subject to our nostalgia because it's a month old.
Right.
Yeah. So there's no
not even a month
sense of like retrograde. Yeah. Yeah. It's less than a month
yeah,
old.
Yeah, maybe in a few years this would seem passe to me. But I like it and it's good. And I think the third very notable thing is this girl sounds exactly like Adele.
I couldn't imagine what you're talking about. I couldn't imagine. Let's listen to it to see if Caroline's right
maybe
or wrong
just
about
a little
this.
Bit.
I don't know if I connect with the idea. This is the lead title track. We'll listen to a little bit of it. Not a title track, just lead track. Still Rolling Stones.
Out of the shadow. You had to say rolling in it. Yeah. This is the same exact structure of Rolling in the Deep.
I don't see it, guys. Like, you definitely couldn't just go...
even the choir.
There's a fire burning in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch in the Okay. So.
Woof. Not for me. Not for me.
What? She's rolling in the deep.
This is,
she's just such a hack, dude. This is exactly Adele production, Adele vocalizing. She's singing with a fake accent. Like, this is so frustrating.
Wait, do you think it's an accent or an affectation?
I think it's like a singing style affectation. Because
right.
She's very Southern when she speaks.
Yeah, I
she's
get
like
that.
A real deep Southern Louisiana accent.
But these are choices being made in these
I know.
Pronunciations.
Well, okay, and then there, I don't know if you have this pulled up here, Kevin, but there is a quote where she addresses this very question.
The Adele of it all?
Yes. Give me one.
Like, you could just change your production.
Well,
or the way you pronounce words.
Here's what, because the thing is, it wasn't like before this album, she didn't kind of remind people of Adele, but I will say on her 2015 album, the production wasn't just like Adele Kids Bop.
Right, because that is what it sounds
like. Adele Christian Kids Bop.
Dang it, I don't have the quote, but she said something like...
The quote is, I remember when I heard Adele for the first time, I was like, wow, wait, this is someone who has a husky register, she says, reminiscing about her early days as an artist. It was something I could grab a hold of and never let go.
So she
hold
even
so tight
is like,
and make it just my own. Admitting that she's jacking Adele singing
Speaking
style.
Speaking of A Star Is Born, she Bradley Coopered her. Yeah.
I mean, and by comparison, so this is, I'll just play a little bit of the 2015 stuff. Like, this doesn't, it's more like worship album-y. It doesn't sound like, whoa, is this Adele? Like, it just feels so, it feels musically distinct from like a 25 or a 21 knockoff.
Sure, yeah.
This is a totally different way of singing.
Yeah, listen to her.
Ashamed of what I've done.
Oh my god.
What I've been.
Does she sing like this when she gets to the chorus though? Like, does she do belty stuff?
She does belt a little bit. Yeah, hold on, we'll get to it.
You break my chains. You
it's kind of that thing.
You can hear it, but it's not as thick.
Yeah.
With two C's.
Yeah, I feel like still Rolling Stones is the most Adele-y sound, because otherwise, like, the album gets into, like, there's a worship song, there's kind of a reggae song, there's kind of like a cute doo-wop-y song. There's a lot of
well,
interesting
there's
stuff
also
in here. A lot of choir.
There's also her number one song on Spotify right now, You Say, which is the single. Mm-hmm.
This is the one that is just Halo
that
piano.
Yeah. Settle down that you
right.
Yes. Okay. I was listening to this, so I was like shopping in Zara and I was like singing along doing that. I was like, oh, yeah, this lines right up.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say
I can see your halo.
The same song.
I mean, I don't know if like if that's her stealing or if that's just like music industry stealing too.
To me, it sounds like an artist that doesn't know her voice very well being like, well, I like this music. I'm going to make songs that sound like that.
Right.
Especially if you're you're saying there's a reggae song and a doo-wop song. I'm like, do you not know what music is? This isn't how you do this. You can just go one of these, one of those, and I'm good. Like, just a little bit. Who are you as an artist?
Yeah, and she's very adamant about how intense this album was for her to make.
Intensely personal.
Yeah, which everyone says, but in one video she was like, I turned my skin inside out for this album.
Oh my God.
And she had taken a year off after her previous album because of all the pressure. That sounds so much like
a took a year off? That's not even that much time.
Yeah, and then like came back and was like, I wanted to say things that are extremely me. And you can debate whether she accomplished that, but that was her intent. And she's 28. Like, she's semi-young, you know.
Well, as of recording, she's 27, age. I believe.
Oh, 27. Yeah. Okay.
She's, listen, and there's a difference between people born in the 90s and born in the 80s. There's certain maturities that maybe
she's like,
have...
what, like 91?
Yeah, she's 91. I'm just saying, it's distinct.
Yeah. I will say, like, it doesn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like it, and I like that style of singing. To me, I'm like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, if you can kind of do an approximate, and this is probably a comfortable range for her, like, it makes sense that she would sing in this style in 2018 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can also see the fact of being like, you just ripped someone's whole style and, like, used it for your music.
Well, and there's a few... You know what? Actually, I have this audio clip. I'll just play it right now. We take you to a meeting with Lauren Daigle and her manager before the album comes out. So, Lauren, we all know you sound a little bit like Adele. Why don't we kind of go away from that on the next album? Do something a little smaller, a little more personal. Nah, I want to lean into it. Okay, well, how about for the album cover? You know, Adele does black and white photos of just her face on it. Maybe we don't do that. Maybe we do something, you know, you with the band or you outside in Nashville. Nah, I'll make it black and white and just my face. Okay, well, what you definitely don't want to do is culturally appropriate, like, African headwear
Jesus.
Of any sort. On the, especially if some, like, low-key white girl reggae songs on the
mm-hmm.
album. So maybe you just show your hair, you put in a ponytail, see you in the studio. Nah, I want to wear the African headdress. Okay, well, I give up. I'm going to fire myself.
You're pretty enough. We'll still make a killing.
Yeah, she is pretty.
First thing I did when I saw that album cover was Google if she was black. First thing. And then when I found out she wasn't, I was like, nah, I actually hate her.
Well, and I think this is an important conversation because I think it's an interesting line. I'd be curious as to your perspective on it. Generally, as a musician, Miel, mm-hmm. about the line between appreciation mm-hmm. and appropriation. And before we dive into that, I'm just going to play a little bit of a song called Your Wings, which is a little musically distinct. It's kind of, I have a way to describe it once we get into the verse. Let's just listen to it for a second. So to me, I think taking it all in total, and especially stuff she posts on Instagram sometimes, this kind of sounds like the white girl you know going on mission trip and coming back
yes.
with cornrows.
I was going to say it's exactly like that. Like,
yes.
I think she had spent time doing missions work, like, significantly.
Oh,
and to me,
honey.
Yeah, she's like someone who spent a lot of time maybe in Africa and like really loved it and like loved the style and really loved the people
mm-hmm.
and only refers to periods of time as seasons. and kind of came back with a funky look or something. Or just kind of this, like, I think I know this kind of, like, bohemian Christian girl.
Ugh.
Well, what is this call to mind? I'm holding up.
But it's also
holding
kind
up a picture
like
of
a
Lauren.
New agey look, too. You know, like, it's a lot.
I just don't think you can wear, like, a head wrap and big old fucking earrings and not notice that you are appropriating.
So musically, what is the line, do you think? Like, Christian artist, secular, whatever. Like, just in music, how do you define the distinction between, like, appreciation and appropriation. Whereas like using a musical style and genre where you're appreciating it, but not appropriating it, where you're like, you know, for example, a white rapper using the N-word or something where it's like, clearly this is over
the line.
That's
not appropriating. That's just offensive.
Right. It's just offensive.
Yeah.
But even just like musically, stylistically appropriating.
I feel like we're also not the ones to say.
I don't feel qualified for that because music is such a shared language. But at the same time, like white people rapping kind of need to know their place of it. I think like, okay, this is by far the most controversial thing I'll say on this podcast.
Whoa.
Iggy Azalea did it wrong. Macklemore did it right.
I'm good with that. That's a good take.
Boosting people that haven't been given the privileges that you have when you did their music style, but you were white, mm-hmm. and respecting it and knowing your place and staying in your fucking lane and being self-effacing about that, as opposed to continually running away from people calling you out or whatever. I feel like maybe that's the only thing you can do. Yeah. I don't totally know that you can tell like a white artist, oh, you can't do blues music. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And,
then
and
we're
I don't...
all doing country. You
right.
know, like,
yes.
That's,
then
that's,
white people just continue
only...
making terrible music forever.
We're all like, Taylor Swift.
Rock and roll was just R&B sped up.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right. So,
it's
yeah.
all basically like, if you cut out white people doing black people music, there's no white music left.
Right. Because there's no gospel music. There's no.
The world I would like.
What the
I
hell?
Mean, again, I feel like we're not the ones to say this isn't our,
right.
our thing to define.
But I guess just as a listener and a consumer, when does it start to feel icky to you?
When you wear a head wrap on your album cover, it feels pretty bad.
Well, that's the thing where I'm like, if it was something where the imagery accompanying the album rollout was different,
yeah.
or it's just like, hey, y'all, here's my band, you know.
Also, she sings with a fake accent. I'm sorry, but if she's a Southern accent like you guys are saying, that's not what she's singing with. She's not sounding like Dolly Parton. She's trying to sing exactly with a British accent, like Amy Winehouse and Adele had a baby. That's what she's trying to sound like.
The one that sounded the most like... Oh, what if Adele was Christian, was Rebel Heart.
Oh, interesting. Okay, let's play a little bit of Rebel Heart.
But I really liked the jazziness of this song. Gets me.
Rebel Heart is yours. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, there's some good chords in here.
Lord, I offer up this rebel heart.
This rebel
heart.
Something happens where you start whistling your S's, I think.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to fight you anymore. So take this rebel heart and make it yours.
Cool chord changes.
Yum. Mm-hmm.
Father, this is one of my favorites on the album. Because it reminds me of Adele, but I'm not just like, you're just doing a... This is your SNL reel.
Listen, if she sang this differently, I actually think this could be a good song.
Yeah.
It's still, the voice is going to drive me nuts.
Spill. So
yeah.
Bend this apple heart into your
heart. Heart.
I give it over for you.
Okay.
The buns of this song are solid. It's not a boring worship song, and the arrangement isn't an Adele knock. But you're right in that the voice does contextualize it as, oh, just kidding, I'm still Adele, y'all.
I was going to say, I thought that she sounded like Sia in Losing My Religion.
I love that R.E.M. song.
I was annoyed with this song because I was kind of hoping like it would be a little controversial, but instead it's like... kind of a common Christian thing of like, it's not a religion, it's a relationship.
It's okay.
I'm not doing box checking Christianity, like I'm a spiritual Christian or something like that, which is cool and like you should be, but also
thematically, I will say, and I think this is what's striking about it from like a commercial perspective, there's not a single song on here where it's like, well, maybe this is about a guy.
Yeah.
No.
It's so
it's like unabashedly.
Explicitly, me and the Lord.
Specifically God.
Or if it was a guy, you're in an insane relationship with him. Like,
yeah,
you say I'm good.
There's very she does like a run on this yes. at some point. So
yeah.
I traded all to meet you here. I'm losing.
musical Garcia.
The frustrating thing is, I think the reason I get so mad about this is that she clearly has a good voice.
She's very talented.
Yeah, she has a great voice.
Yeah, she does
just
a cool voice.
Find your own singing style.
Well, yeah. Did you guys know? I mean, she's multi-talented because in addition to being a singer and kind of a songwriter, she has co-writing, songwriting credits on most of these songs. She also does impressions and voices.
Stop.
Stop. Don't do this.
Like what?
Well, if you go to her Instagram account, she does funny things like,
you know where I am, back at Dawn's. Made it to Lafayette, and I had to stop and get my cracklings. Happy Mardi Gras, yeah.
Who's that supposed to be an impression of?
I don't know. It says, cracklings, ain't messing around. That's the caption. That was from February 2016.
Yeah, you'd think a PR person would do a sweep on that.
Just gotta clear some stuff.
Food on the earth for us to eat and devour. Oh my gosh, happy Thanksgiving. I'm so excited about my bagel with salmon, because it's good.
Is she doing Miranda
good
sings,
for you
too?
It feels a bit like it.
And this is why the Lord...
I don't know. I don't know.
Is that, I mean, that her real
fine
accent?
Like, that's... No. No, but no, she no, does no have a southern accent. That's her funny. It's just like, a, you know, when you're, I mean, a public, listen, figure.
It just doesn't sound... It sounds like she's
stealing,
imitating black people to me.
Yeah, well, almost like that.
Yeah.
Guys, for this episode, I was hunting down, because I did follow her for a long time on Instagram, because I liked some of the, her Christmas albums. So I was like, oh, I'll follow her. She seems to be big. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then her Insta stories were mostly kind of like what Miel said, kind of a black person voice.
Yeah.
Or I'll say, I don't think she's doing that on purpose.
She doesn't realize that she thinks it's funny because she's white.
I think it's an Awkwafina thing where it's like Awkwafina's doing Miley Cyrus doing black culture, but because it's 3 degrees removed, it's like, no, it's just how we talk or whatever it is. But yeah, I think that all as a total picture.
Yeah, my spidey senses are tingling. It's not making me feel great.
And man, not to drag this girl we all just met.
No, again,
met,
she's
musically
got a great voice.
Yes.
I just, I don't know that, I don't think she's it for me. You, this ain't it, Chief.
Well, how about maybe you'll get turned around on this song, Look Up, Child, the title track.
Seems to win. Where are you now?
Well, yeah, right.
When the world is,
now, which Adele song is this?
Oh, I
have a guess.
I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child.
Summer left to you, la, 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 hello.
Yeah.
Treat you bad, summer let go, la, 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 go. We both know we ain't kids no more. If you're ready, then I'm ready.
Interesting. Well, I mean, like, Christian's must be psyched to have one.
I can't
We're
tell.
We're always psyched to have one.
I
what? Love it. Someone that sounds like someone we want to like.
I mean,
I don't think it's a contribution to music, but it sounds like a contribution to Christian music. If you make the pool,
yeah,
much
maybe
smaller.
Yeah, maybe. That's why I like it
I
so
get,
much.
But I am baffled by part of it. So Chris DeVille from Stereogum, who I quoted with all the figures. And
a great article. I actually really loved it. I feel like it kind of distilled a lot of the things I was thinking about her.
There's an article in Stereogum called Lauren Daigle is Christian Adele. Like, that's the headline of it.
Calling it out.
And he's a pretty good music writer. And he says near the end, it's hard to know what Daigle's goal is. For artists who become so popular in the Christian music scene that people outside it start to learn their names, the question of mainstream crossover always lingers, like we were talking about. Many, such as the rapper NF, pivot from Christian music by rebranding as a Christian who makes music. Mm-hmm. Others pointedly reject the idea of becoming secular stars, like Mercy Me, who opted not to leap at the chance to become the next Creed because we're called to be worship leaders. That was the quote from them. Mm-hmm. Look Up, Child could easily be a case of Daigle opening herself up to an audience beyond the faithful, but it also never strays from the core theological beliefs. There's no Baby Baby here, the Amy Grant single. There's no song that leaves you wondering whether it's addressed to Jesus or a romantic partner. Thematically, it's all decisively Christian. Sonically, it's just varied and sophisticated enough to transcend that world. Daigle, who has talked about rejecting checklist-based religion for something more personal, may have applied the same logic to her music. Maybe she just made the album she wanted to make, a traditionalist album in the broader sense, but one that bucks some of the traditions that previously constrained her. If so, all I can say is amen. I think he's being a little charitable in terms of talking about the sound and stuff, but I feel like that's a pretty good summation of like, yeah, what, I don't know what you're trying to do.
That's the read I'm getting, is that there's a lack of authenticity here.
And for a PR campaign that's so like, you know, that last time I made, it was just all like Sonic Sense and bleeps and bloops, and this is the real me. We wanted to do it with a real band.
Because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine if I was Christian, I get pretty tired of hearing the same metaphors and the same, like, rhymes and the same, you know what I mean? I'd want something that felt personal about their relationship with God, and from what I've just heard, that all sounds super cliche.
Well, she talked about this too. I don't know if you saw this quote. I think this is to the Christian Post. She was talking about this and she said, my music is having crossover appeal, but it doesn't mean that I'm leaving one for the other or that I'm going to be swept up by one thing or the other. For me, it's like, oh, everything just got even more clear. Everything just got clearer as to why it is that we go and love people who are outside the walls of our church, outside of the walls that we're comfortable with. Dale continued. So it's kind of like,
what does that mean?
I'm not crossing over, but like if I'm getting outside of Christian circles, that's good. That's like the Great Commission or whatever. And I don't think she's being dishonest. That's the thing. Like, I don't think she's trying to be a PR sleazeball or something. I think that's how she feels.
No, I don't think she's trying to be a sleazeball. No. I just think it's like, I wonder this about any young person in a huge music industry or like film, like how much of you, how much of your blood and your soul is in any of this, and how much of this are you playing the part of the cog in the machinery that gets you to 113,000 albums sold in your first week?
Sure, sure.
113 CDs.
113 half CDs.
Amazing. I mean, truly an achievement.
12 vinyls, 2 8tracks.
Yeah, it, to me, the inauthenticity isn't that she's like a hack or anything. It's just from a musical standpoint. That's just the thing that I can't handle.
Like you're songwriting like someone else.
Yeah.
Even like, if you are convinced it's yours.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then lyrically, she's not changing my mind. Because it doesn't sound personal either. Like everything she's saying, even
it's still pretty like generally Christian.
Yeah, like being a secular non-Christian person, I can recognize this as Christian music. I don't know that that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Because what that means is you're like treading on tired ground. Like we know. maybe wrong.
I don't know. I think that's a good point. Yeah.
No, to sonically that you can immediately identify it is not. I mean, for some people, I think it's a feature.
Some people want that.
Yeah, but I think for people who love music, it's not like the best.
That's like, why, having a music snob on is like not the best. No, I'm so sorry.
This
to
is
come
literally
on
why I wanted you to have you on the show. It truly is. No jokes.
Yeah, no, because it does help inform.
There's a lot of, and speaking of like the thematics and lyrics of the album, there's a lot of "I'm bad, but you're so good" songs. That's a good
love
chunk
like
of them.
This. I feel like is a perfect one.
Love like this.
And if you try, you can perfectly fit in the lyrics. I am a piece
of shit. Oh, this sounds like 12 worship songs I've heard before. When I'm bad, you're good.
I run into your arms.
Where's the piece of shit?
I am a big, stinky piece of shit.
Wait, this is another song. That melody I recognize. I'll have to get back to it. It is something else.
It's something else.
Even in the same key, I think.
Oh, man.
I'll let you know later.
Yeah, I hear you. But yeah, in the song, for example, Everything, she says, you give me everything. 21 times in the song. That
21?
Yeah, and I think you could read this song two ways, too. You could read it as someone who is thinking that they're unworthy of love, or someone who is commenting on how generally we feel like we're unworthy of something if we are bad and like someone is giving us something good. So you can read it both ways, too. And it's like, oh, this is profound for us to say, like, I do deserve it. but I would just love a Christian song someday that would be like, I deserve to be loved. I'm good. People like me. You know?
Some
I'm nice sometimes. Yeah, like just something like that. Because yeah, so many worship single. Songs are all about like this wretched feeling. And I harp on this so often, but it like just gets clearer and clearer to me the more I hear Christian songs. It's like, what a theme this is.
Yeah. You have to hate yourself to find God.
You kind of just, have to like mush yourself down into the dirt in order to have the full revelation of the love of God. And I don't think that's necessary.
That's like condoning self-loathing.
It is. Yeah. But you're supposed to feel the best sense of self-worth because your identity is in Christ and he's chosen you and you're his daughter.
Huh.
But that
doesn't seem like it should be necessary.
It's not compatible. Yeah. To be like, I am both a princess and also like
a piece of shit.
Shit. Literally. And like, you go to the original Paul, he says that. So like,
that also like for me starts to cross into why I don't like organized religion.
In order for it to work or to feel truly worshipful or something.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a line in maybe you say or one of the songs where it's like, my identity, all of my everything is in you.
Yes.
I don't think that's healthy.
Well, and it does beg the question, what do you think Miel's identity is? What do you think your friend at work's identity is? Like, they're so lost and they don't know what's going on in the world. Like, it is such a bad way to live.
To me, that sounds like a drug addict.
Truly, like, if you think about your relationship with God as a relationship, like, that would be a codependent, unhealthy relationship.
That's what I'm saying. It's toxic as hell.
To say, like, I'm so crappy, it's amazing, you're with me. Like, that's a bad date.
What a power dynamic.
Guys, in 2018, we need to cut toxic gods out of our life.
In my perception of religion, like, if you subscribe to it, it's because it enriches your life, not because it is your whole life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. That it should...
It, like, informs things or gives meaning to things.
Yeah.
It's what I would choose over, like, this is...
All I have!
And everything must be filtered through a certain spiritual lens in order to be good or meaningful or purposeful in my life.
This might be like too off topic. Feel free to tell me to stop talking.
No, you're good, girl.
There's two instances in my life where religion has freaked me out so much. And they both were because I met people who were so broken because of God, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
One was my ex's mom, who disowned him because he stopped going to church and would write him letters saying she's so disappointed he won't be there, like post-rapture. And just, she was like resigned to die. She's like, any minute now he's going to take me. And I'm like, whoa, you're
tragic.
Spending your whole life like this.
Yeah,
and then another
girl
I went to Guatemala with when we were 18, and she was super, super religious and like would literally stay up at night crying, scared that like God didn't love her anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, this is ruining your life. Like, that's what I'm saying. If you make it your whole thing, like, you are a person also. And then God is like your guidance counselor.
Or like your best friend.
I just want you to graduate on time.
From Earth?
Yeah. That's what death is. The great graduation.
And Miel will be there clapping all the way. Da, 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 da,
da, da.
Yeah. I know. And I think that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm trying to find a way where, like, the theology is both good and also I'm a good thing that happened.
You don't have to be.
And like, not simply because God loves me, but because I have innate value, you know?
Well, and you're a good person.
Yeah. And like
you're kind. You put out snacks. That's I've never had a podcast.
Pieces of shit don't put out snacks.
Only good girls do. Caroline cries. She breaks down.
Right.
It's a huge pet peeve of mine, honestly. And like, again, maybe this is unrelatable, but like when people win awards and they immediately thank God, and I'm like, I mean, you should thank God because obviously you believe he helped you or she helped you, but
hey,
to discredit yourself,
yeah,
to say that God did this, I'm kind of like, give yourself some credit. You worked really hard.
Right, and you're doing some weird mental blockage if like you didn't think you put any like muscle into
this. And also, you're so arrogant to think that like entirely God did this. He just focused all their energy
just
on
like,
you.
I really, really wanted, you know, Rihanna to get this Grammy.
God made me win this Oscar, y'all.
Yeah, God was working overtime to get Jennifer Hudson that best supporting. The first thing she said was, look what God can do.
God is like sweating. He's like, I gotta get her agent on the phone.
You're a
narcissist.
Oh, we
did it. All right. God's taking a nap.
I don't know. But I also don't want to go fully into like, God doesn't care about anything
I do.
You know, so.
Yeah, don't hang off me too long.
But you know what? I think it's something we haven't really talked about on the show before. And believe me, the list is getting shorter each episode, but something we haven't talked about on the show.
Is how we should be thanking God for this show.
Every minute every of every damn day. I was going to say that oftentimes when all the gatekeepers of what we understand to be modern theology, and especially as is expressed in worship music and the style that she's so conversant in, mm-hmm. are male.
Yeah.
I think there's something specifically... If I may patriarchal. Overgeneralize, like there's something specifically male about the like, yes, I'm a piece of shit and just like absolutely. Beating your chest about what a wretch you are. Whereas like men kind of like putting that on because it gives, I'll just speak for myself. Men kind of like putting that on because it gives a little bit of drama and anguish and angst and arc to their like spiritual journeys. Whereas women, I would assume, feel it more every day and have to combat a society set up to attack them.
Yeah, I feel like we're fighting more to like be like, you are okay. Yes, like, you did yeah. enough today. And
no, like cis straight white dudes like think it's like gives them complexity to be broken.
Sure.
We yes. all inherently believe, us women, believe
we
we're, broken
know we're broken
from the jump. Yeah, there's well, a huge disconnect.
Well, and beyond even just men, I feel like anyone that feels self-critical, for a moment, you get to imagine you're a more principled person, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, at least I know this is bad that I did this. So that makes me good.
Yeah, progressive sanctification. It's like
bit.
The idea of like, I'm so alive now in a way that I wasn't yeah. a week ago, yeah. a year ago.
Just do drugs already.
Well, we are going to, when we have Greg back on the show, we're going to take mushrooms and listen to DC Talk.
That's right.
Are you really going to do it?
We should.
Very scared.
Wait, have you? Okay, this is probably too off topic. Have no. you guys done mushrooms?
No.
No.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I not say I'm an atheist earlier?
You got
obviously,
it.
Obviously, I've done
all
drugs.
Atheists yeah. have done mushrooms.
Yes, of course we have.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
But I've heard a lot of my friends that have done mushrooms that are like vaguely religious-y, like having experience with God while on them.
That's what Greg said. Like, it yeah, clarified some
of.
Things that are... you'll meet him and he's like, boring.
Oh, well, so, or she, bitch.
Or
it.
She.
Or non-binary.
Or Pennywise. Or, yes, yeah. you're right. I affirm that.
I do agree.
Okay, I want to finally play the end track. The cover of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
I didn't care for this. I'm sorry, I should have waited to give that.
I appreciate it. I'm rubbing off on you. I hate
no,
this.
I mean, ew. I like the rest of this one. I was just like, come on. No thanks.
Wait, my eyes are blurring. Is that... Lauren Daigle or Lauren Hill?
Stop.
My eyes are blurring. We'll go straight
in the light of his glory and grace.
Like Joss Stone on steroids.
Yes.
Some of you may recognize this is an old hymn she's doing a cover.
Yeah, this
of.
Is at least 20 years old.
At least. Mm-hmm.
20 to 30 years old.
One of my favorites on this is Rescue. I like this one. Did we play this yet?
Rescue me! Or it'd be Rescue me. What's
Rescue me.
There it is.
Rescue me.
You are not hidden.
Rescue me.
Now she sounds like a worship leader here.
There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you, have
you are
been
not
broken,
hopeless.
I feel like I'm joining Scientology listening to this song.
Well, I have some brochures to pass your way, Mia.
Are we going clear?
Finally.
Let's go clear.
Now's the year to go clear.
I hear
she plays piano. So
I hope she does.
There's a lot of piano on this.
Oh, this is a classic form in Christian music. This is a song written from God's perspective.
Isn't that a little bit like
presumptuous?
Yeah. I could have played God in this song.
I don't know. Sometimes I think when it's done well, it's an interesting narrative device.
Uh-huh.
When it's not done
yeah,
well
to
or clunkily.
Yeah, personify God a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's like this part. Send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. I will rescue you. That's a nice song.
Well, shall we get to our final thoughts on Lauren Daigle's album, Look Up, Child? And by the way, what voice do you think she used when she told people her new album title? What silly voice
look
do you
up,
think?
Look up, child.
I always thought, look up, child, okay?
She did her speaking voice, which is this. I made an album, it's called Look Up, Child.
Caroline look always up, going child. With the most adventurous take. So the way this works, Meow, is we're going to give Lauren Daigle's album a thumbs up or a
or
thumbs
bagel.
Down. Or a space between. Thumbs up, we give her a holy toast. We send this album all the way to heaven. Or, holy roast, that's a thumbs down. We send this album to hell. To hell! Or if we're not sure, not quite this, not quite that, and we want to send it to purgatory, we take it to...
Ready for number three? The space
between... Oh my God. Wait, Dave Matthews Band isn't Christian, right?
Not yet.
Not if we have our way.
Dave. Dave's coming on the show next month. I repent for all the poopy. Sorry, I've just played a clip from our upcoming episode.
Oh, Kevin.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
Oh, okay. Well, you almost changed my mind because I think you have a good point too, and I think it's very valid, and I don't think you're being like over negative or over critical or anything.
Oh, thank you.
But that said, I love this album, and I just really enjoyed listening to it, and it was like surprising from song one to be like, oh, okay. Like yeah. I would listen to this casually, whereas most of them it's kind of like, okay, from an academic standpoint, like what is this saying or whatever. And this felt a little bit more like I could just enjoy it.
Yeah.
What Caroline's saying is this show feels like work, but this one felt like play.
Yeah. This one was just, this was fun. This was vacation for me.
Feel like a piece of shit on vacation.
I love it. It's floating out there. Of course, there are some things that are not great. I don't like all the self-deprecation. I don't love just straight up stealing Adele's voice. But hey, it's a beautiful voice and she's really talented. And I wish her the best. I hope she continues to be very successful and stops wearing turbans.
I wish her the best.
wait, does that mean thumbs up?
That's a holy toast?
That's a holy toast, sorry.
Oh, okay, we turn to Mia.
Go ahead.
I mean, hell feels dramatic.
Hey, it's thumbs up for down. I mean...
Sorry, that's just how things go.
Yeah. I don't know if you've read the Bible.
The truth.
I feel like this girl has a lot of potential. I think she needs to explore themes outside of God all the time. I think that she's actually maybe giving Christian artists a bad rap by writing about the same thing every damn song. Because there's so many ways you can write about God that aren't so obvious. And also, you could like not Ursula Adele. That'd be so great. And get me.
You're saying she's a poor, unfortunate soul for doing that.
I think I'd send it to purgatory.
Space between.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think she means well. I just think she's got some bad ideas.
I wonder. Let's listen. I just want to listen to a second of this.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
This is sounds like that girl that came out at the same time as Adele. Let your
heart Duffy?
Duffy.
You're begging me for Jesus.
Oh, Duffy. Oh, my God.
You release this? Yeah.
Duffy.
Take it to the bridge. Yeah. All right, space between from Miel. Well, I've been dying to talk about this album for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you texted me, I think there's like a million things we could say about this album.
Oh, I don't even remember saying that. Yeah. Because there's so many things to say. And I could say them, but you know what?
Oh my God.
I think my thoughts go a little more something like this. There's a singer, sounds just like Adele. But instead the guy she's singing about,
the one that saves from hell.
Finally, Christian music has a husky voice it lacked. Scared white folks can't listen to, cause she is not black.
Oh my God.
See
Kevin.
How vocally this girl's a heavyweight. But there's not a culture she will not appropriate.
Oh my God.
There's a singer, sounds just like Adele. Instead a guy she's singing about, the one that stays from hell.
God.
The scars of Jesus, she sings about to God. Please us. They keep me thinking these songs are not good at all. The scars of Jesus, she sings about to please us. They keep me thinking this music sucks some balls. The lyrics are not deep. Your mom will probably like it.
Lauren Daigle.
but this album's not for me. Holy roast.
Oh my god.
I can tell you and Demi used to do a podcast together. I don't know who we knocked off on who.
Welcome to Kevin's audition for Punch Up the Jam.
Yes,
I've been begging to be on for 50 episodes. No. Holy roast.
Fun.
Really? I was so
total holy roast?
Yeah.
Not a fan at all?
No.
Wow. I was not expecting that from you. Knowing you personally,
either.
Like you're such a nice guy. I can't believe you're so brutal.
You're such a dick.
Hey,
and I love
this
it.
This is the new me.
Kevin, come to the dark side.
Yeah, I love
we can
it.
Sponsor a freeway.
Let's do shrines in the forest, man.
We got your face.
Listen, I was so excited to check this album out. I liked her voice before, and I was so disappointed.
You mean disappointed?
I was so
disappointed.
I was disappointed that we are doing that. Christian music is still playing the same game in 2018 that DC Talk played when they made Jesus Freak rip off of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit in 94, that DeGarmo and Key did ripping off literally every song ever in the 80s, that we're still doing this.
You deserve better.
In 2018.
Yeah.
And I felt like, yeah, that we do deserve like you. I always thought that like with the proliferation of the internet and being able to look stuff up, that this shit wouldn't go down quite as much. But the fact that like every part of it seemed derivative of something else. And I don't think she's a sleazeball, but I think parts of this are not authentic. It feels for sure musically dishonest. The thematics are like fine, kind of boring, kind of negative, somewhat positive in some places. I actually kind of liked the cover of
him.
Yeah, uh-huh. I thought that was good. I was grooving to it, but everything else, I guess Rebel Heart, I liked a little bit, but man, it really made me feel empty after listening to it because I'm like, I don't think I.
There's no authenticity.
You say your blood is in it, but I don't see it, and I certainly don't hear it. That being said, if Lauren, you ever want to come on this show. We'd be happy to host you.
God.
And, you know, if you ever want to go to coffee sometime, it can just be his friends or it can just be, you know, it's whatever.
You like, trying to date her?
Trying to date this gal? I hope you like wearing earrings, Kevin, because this is the kind of guy you're going to be now.
I can't. You know how I said to you that there's certain triggers on dates where I'm like, this was a mistake. I imagine Lauren Daigle rolling up to the, you know, whatever the local place is. And I was sitting down, starting to talk about movies. And she goes, yeah, Wakanda forever, y'all. And I'm like,
brother.
Maybe it's time to go home.
I think she'd more try to convince you to get dreadlocks. That feels
I'm
like
enjoying thinking of you. Yeah, in dreadlocks and maybe like a fringed vest.
Yeah, you're like you make macrame like necklaces
beauty.
Now.
And I just listen to Graceland nonstop on repeat. Like, I think Paul Simon gave all those guys a fair shot.
Oh my God.
So anyway, yeah, holy roast. Lauren, girl, I'm with Miel. You can do better. You got the goods, but you gotta
got a good voice.
You don't need these nonsense bullshit guys telling you to do this and do that. You sound and feel like a cog. You need
it feels like a Christian money grab.
Yes. And it feels like you need whatever the equivalent would be of a Rick Rubin or a Jack Antonoff to bring out the you that's there.
Yeah.
What is the personal you? Who is the true Lauren Daigle? Because I'm not hearing it or feeling it from this. So, holy roast from me.
Well, the truth for me is actually an African folk song. No. Don't do that.
She's like, I want to do, I was
That's
born.
What I really wanted to do.
Hey, y'all, black people are my spirit animal. Oh, gosh, that's so layered.
Oh, God.
It's hard to unpack it, but we're not the final word on this. You're the final word, dear listener. So you can go to @ChristianFunPod. Give this album a holy roast, a holy toaster, a space between. So get out there and...
Pokemon go to the polls.
Oh my God. That didn't need to be made.
It didn't need to be made, but we deserved for it to
but
be
we
made.
Deserved it. We did.
Now it's time to bring it on down. Bring it down to a different space.
This explosions in the sky.
That's explosions in your heart.
I like this.
Oh, no. You gotta get that checked.
No. In a metaphorical way. It's a blood clot.
I'm having an aneurysm.
That's not good.
Miel, on other shows, another podcast that you may have done, you might plug your own stuff or promote yourself or lift, you know, talk about your social media handles. We don't do that on this show.
Ooh,
that's the way of man. That's vanity. That's pride. That's the folly of our flesh.
We're here to lift those things up as a lovely, humble sacrifice to our one true Lord, Jesus Christ.
Hard pass.
No shrines in the forest for you. Hard pass. So, Caroline, we start with you. What do you want to lift up?
You can humble me at Caroline's Farts on Instagram and Twitter. This I was going to lift up anyway, but it's very pertinent for this episode. There's a book that I have not finished, but I've gotten quarter into. It's called Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff. She is a researcher and she's like the expert on self-compassion, which as opposed to like self-esteem is like just caring for yourself and acknowledging both the good and bad and like being your own comforter in some way. It's really powerful and it really changed a lot of my inner monologue. If you have a tough time being critical with yourself or others, I recommend giving it a read. It's a great book.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Caroline.
You're welcome.
But you said at Caroline's Farts, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Sorry.
I knew it.
True friends fart at the same time.
That's right.
Miel, we turn to you. What do you want to lift up?
You can find me at Miel, M-I-E-L, or Miel Monster on everything.
At Miel.
At Miel. You can listen to Punch Up the Jam. If you like me roasting this poor woman the last 4 or 5 hours, how long has it been?
Punch Up the Jam is great. It's you kind of do what we should do with Lauren Daigle, which is improve upon whatever song you're
That's
talking
the thing.
About. Yeah,
you have to be constructive criticism.
Yes, and you put in the effort.
It's literally constructive. It's a great podcast. It's a phenomenal format. And your co-host name is Demi. Okay. Yes. Demi, it did.
I would love to have you on soon. Get a great reunion tour going.
Oh, sure. Yes.
It's just that Demi hates you so much, he won't let me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Feel the tension of two ex-husbands in the room together, finally.
They still kiss sometimes. I would love to shout out a book that I periodically reread, and I just find it to be so... I don't know, maybe inspirational is too strong of a word, but I just love this woman so much. It's Patti Smith.
Horses?
The song Horses.
Yeah.
The book Just Kids. It's a memoir of her time in New York in like the late 60s, early 70s with Robert Mapplethorpe. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you're struggling as an artist to kind of find your way. I just feel like she does it in such, I guess, with grace. I don't know how else to describe it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she's an elegant little poet.
She really is.
Yeah.
She's like a Renaissance woman. I
saw
her
one time on accident at Amoeba Records.
What was she buying?
No, she was playing on the stage.
By accident?
Yeah.
Oh, her performances.
She tripped and started playing.
They're so spiritual, guys.
Yeah.
I got to see her open for Bon Iver, which was crazy she opened. That didn't make sense. But she screamed, "We are fucking free!" And lightning struck right at that moment.
Whoa.
Right. That's like the closest to God I've ever come.
Hey.
That's great.
Highly Just recommend kids. It. Just Kids.
Because the book belongs to readers.
Is this a Christian thing? Why you're like this? Whose fault is this?
Yeah, yeah, it's probably the product.
No,
of
No, I groups. Will not be associated.
Is that why you're like this? This is a lot. It's an ongoing mystery. Once we figure out, we can
why
end the podcast.
Like, were you homeschooled like me? What is
I was,
he
was I was homeschooled
that's
like
that's
you.
That's why he's like this.
Yeah. Okay, I relate to you deeply.
Miel and I are starting a spinoff podcast, Homeschooled Like Me. You can check
oh,
it
for
out.
All three of you guys to listen to.
Give me a break. There's more homeschool. I bet there's a lot of homeschool
well,
listeners
and mommies.
Who would love
yeah.
it. There's a lot of mommies and daddies that would think
mommies.
The podcast is really neat. Thank you, Miel. We
thank you for having me.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll plug a podcast I've really been enjoying listening to, in addition to Punch Up the Jam, two other music podcasts I love, the On Shuffle podcast on the Ringer Network and the New York Times Popcast with John Caramonica and all those folks. I feel like I've become good, smarter with music stuff by listening to those. I think they're fun, they're light, they're good for music stuff. So maybe a nice chaser for the fun of Punch Up the Jam. That's all, folks. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and leave us a review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. For every review you leave, we will donate $1 to a charity. This one's charity is RAIN. And you can catch another weekly dose of good Christian fun every Friday. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun. You can sign up for our second service there. Miel, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you guys for having
me. This was so fun.
Very brave of you.
Hey, thanks for coming out of the woods for a little bit.
You're welcome.
Thank you for bringing us these like sticks of offering to us as a nice gift.
I'll find something to do with those.
And there's nothing left to say except for in all of Pod's people said amen.
Oh, wow.
All right, what should we go out on from this?
Rolling in the Deep.
The actual song?
Fire.
Yeah, I think that's true. We're going out with Rolling in the Deep, the Aretha version.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think this is so funny.
Why
rest
so
in peace,
auto-tuned?
Queen of Soul. She's so auto-tuned. It's wild.
What the hell?
What if Aretha was also T-Pain? We have to get to the chorus, though.
She didn't need this.
Nope.
What? This is really Aretha? Why did they do this to her?
Yeah, this bummed me out.
Why did you do this? This isn't a lift up.
You sent me to hell.
Listen to this. Well, listen to this part.
Don't laugh at this old woman.
No, I think it's fun. I don't care. That's out of tune. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, hi, y'all. It's me, Amy Grant, coming to you in the spookiest month of the year, October. You all poop. Anyway, just want to let y'all know, next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are talking about, checks notes, God friended me. Well, that's not spooky at all. What the hell? All right, well, I trust their vision. I trust their guidance. Hopefully, they're going to bring the, you know, all the goblins and ghouls maybe next week or something. I know they've been doing stuff on Second Service where it's like spooky songs or like, you know, they got a few coming up, I think. But I'm a little disappointed if I'm being honest, y'all. But anyway, God friended me. They're going to watch that. I think they're just watching the pilot. You can find the pilot online. Listen, ain't motherfucking Grant's not gonna hold your hand. Okay? Figure it out. Get Hulu, Vudu, Zazu, Beboo. Watch it there, okay? Amy, motherfucking Grant, over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.